In this episode with Alex, we get into some of the strategies he used to break through the glass ceiling in businesses he worked with, to get up there, speak to the top person in the business, the CEO, the managing directors, the board, whoever it is you're talking about. Alex opens up here and lets us know some of his unique ways that he self-taught and upskilled himself to be able to get in there with confidence and have some influence. If you ever thought to yourself that the movie Die Hard had nothing to do with health and safety, you're about to be proved wrong.
Welcome to the Safety Podcast with your host, all the way from a small green island in the wild Atlantic Ocean, Richard Collins.
Hi, Alex. Thanks very much for coming back onto the Safety Podcast. How are things really this week?
Yeah, good. Yeah, we've been doing a bit of windsurfing. Believe it or not, it's been a bit chilly on the East Coast. So I'm based in New York, and I go over to Bridlington around there, and it's been really good actually, and the weather seems to have warmed up a bit. So yeah, had a great time, and a few opportunities in the business side as well. So it's great to be back.
Good stuff. It's good to hear you're getting a bit of the health side of things in your personal life as well. It's obviously we in the profession like to, you know, espouse to people and try and tell them to live active lifestyles and what have you. So it's good that you're practicing what you preach.
Yeah, I try. It's obviously the side of me that doesn't. But I do my best.
Sometimes these things become more and more difficult as life gets more hectic with different things going on. But you've made it back onto the show today, and I'm sure people got loads of great value from our discussion, which is quite broad around soft skills. You shared some of your experience throughout your own career. Digging a little bit deeper into the strategies of influence then, you wanted to give us some more detail on how we could prepare to go into the office of a CEO or the head of a business and actually get some success. So tell us a little bit more about it.
Yeah, thanks, Richard. Put me on the spot. No, joking. it's kind of mystique. I think when you're not given the opportunity, it's almost, as I would put it, kind of breaking through the glass ceiling. Like, you think you can't add value, or you think you could never do it. But then when you actually get there and you think, well, actually, yeah, why did I think that way? It's like bizarre, you know, this person is actually a really nice guy, you know. And I'm talking about, my work at O2, because obviously I've spent a lot of time there. But it's about talking about any business, so whether there's a male or female CEO, and I've met both. And I think, you know, you've got to basically go in there being quite optimistic, if I'm really honest. Don't think that it's all going to be negative, because in my experience, it's been great, you know, and I've had amazing feedback and support. But what I would say is, you can't just rock in there and expect, like, you know, a big hug. You've got to kind of like accept that you're going to have to do a bit of work. And I think that's what you kind of alluding to. This work that you need to do can start as much as 2 to 3 months before you actually get the opportunity to go and speak to the CEO. So in my position, I had to report the strategic elements of health and safety, our KPIs, where we were, you know, our 18,001 compliance incidents, accidents, you know, the usual full management review. But it would be a long journey, and it would certainly go in cycles. And I couldn't just walk in there with a blank sheet of paper. I had to look really credible. And I had to say that it wasn't just me that did this. It was my team. I had a team, and they helped me get there. And it was something that I always said that I would do if I ever got to a senior position. I wouldn't just go in there and say, do you know what? I've done all this work, and this is it. I'd actually say to my team, what should I put in here? So I would really get around the table. If you haven't got a team, don't worry about it. I would find people that you know, like, and trust, and say, would you mind just sitting down and just talking through what you think the CEO might need to know in terms of, obviously, health and safety, the impact on the business, You know, what are the financials looking at? Where are the pain points? You know, how can I help him or her the most? And how can I see it from their point of view? And really kind of just going back, and you'll find that you can imagine a kind of a piece of stone, you know, that's cut out the side of a quarry, and you offload this piece of stone, and it's just a square block, and you start chipping away at it. And this is the kind of analogy. It's like you start chipping away, and you don't just chip and make a masterpiece. You've got to put a bit of effort in. And as you start to chip away, you realize, oh, okay, no, I shouldn't say that. No, that's right. This is going to work. And then suddenly it starts to form out a bit of a kind of a whatever you might want to kind of create, but it might be something that's very much around just the top points. And that's what I would do, actually. I wouldn't give loads of detail. My board reports, for example, were just 2 pages of A4 for a £1 billion business. And people go like, really? I was like, yep, only 2 pages, because it's all about what you say. And it's not about just reading slide after slide after slide. People don't want that anymore. They want to know about you. They want to know how you feel. What's the journey been like? It's not just a destination. It's kind of that inner journey and that outer journey. So like in any good Hollywood movie, like in, you know, Die Hard, he's trying to stop the terrorists. But actually, the inner journey is about him and his relationship with his wife. And I know it sounds a bit weird, but when you go in and speak to someone at senior level, a lot of the time, because they understand people, that's why at that level, they kind of want to understand about the emotional elements of the journey. Like, you know, they'll be asking, okay, how are the people? What's going on with our people? You've got insight that they don't have. You touch the emotions of what people are really feeling in the organization. They will say to you, were you at the conference? What did you think to it? It's nothing about health and safety. It's actually just about, okay, give me insight. Give me it now. And if you don't go in thinking, you know, you don't have insight, you do. You have insight that they don't know. Everyone's got insight, and use it. And don't be scared to kind of focus on that to start with, and then go into the kind of basics of what you've come to talk about. You know, you've got to do certain things, haven't you, to kind of update them. And I think that's the key thing. And also, you don't want to undersell yourself. This preparation phase is all about showing that safety is a differentiator. It's a sales differentiator, because if you can build trust within the organization, other organizations are more likely to do business with you. If you've got a poor reputation, they're more likely to say no or go to a competitor. It's that what the sell is. You know, there's a bit of salesmanship going in there. And also lining your values as a safety professional and your teams with the values of the business and the purpose, that higher purpose. So you're all the time linking it. And that's what they like. They don't like you to have some random purpose or random set of values that aren't linked to theirs. You've got to kind of fall in and entwine it. And so it's kind of a living, breathing set of values that has a heartbeat, rather than this cold, potentially safety thing that you bring in and they're going, not again. And you're like, no, it has got a link. And he's like, no, I can clearly see it hasn't. You haven't thought about it. And that's what they, you know. The other thing is kind of having achievable but stretching objectives. So they won't like it if you go in and say, well, we're just going to make sure that, you know, all the accidents reported and, you know, we've got some kind of rudimentary KPI. No, they want to see something quite significant. And one of those things is closing out any compliance actions that you find. Are you going to get those done within 30 days? You know, you've got to kind of get the backing of business, but you've got to say, I'm driving change. I'm driving compliance, but in the right way. And it's those type of things. So that's what I would say about preparing yourself in terms of the document, what you're going to say, but your persona when you walk in the room and the way you practice to do it. I spent a lot of time. So I would be going, right, what am I know it sounds really bad, but I've got to say these things. What am I going to wear? Right. Am I going to look clean shaven, smart for this sector, for this type of business? What's Mark going to look like? Can I kind of almost mirror what he's going to be wearing, what Derek's going to be wearing, or Ronan before him? Am I going to be, you know, because I'm supposed to be taken seriously, so I want to kind of look the part. Am I going to say something straight away, or am I going to ask them some questions as well? I can remember one day, I know Ronan Dunn was leaving, really cool guy. I was like, I'm going to make him a Lego figure. We used to do loads of Lego training. I introduced it into the business using Lego in safety. It was gamification. It was something different. And I came in with some Lego figures for them. We designed up some kind of like cell sites and things that were very telecom specific. We'd made them out of Lego. I got a guy called Mark Nutter to help me. He's a really smart guy, you know, does a lot of communications. Like, how can I make this really fun and different, and it will stick in their mind? So taking in things like that, not everyone's going to sell it with Lego, but I managed to get Lego in, and I love Lego. So I was like, we've got to get Lego in there.
First of all, thank you for using Die Hard as an analogy. I think really painted a good picture of that internal external story, which is awesome. And the Lego bit then, just on the tail end of things, just before I get a bit deeper into it, so how did you use that then? Obviously you were talking about gamification. I'm not sure how many of our audience would actually be aware of what that is, and can you tell us a bit more about that approach? Obviously it is slightly off center and a little bit different. How you actually use that?
So I was realizing that, you know, telecoms isn't construction and construction isn't telecoms. Telecoms has its own way of doing things, and we'll build a cell site on top of a building in rapid time, depending on if we've been on that rooftop before. But, you know, you're talking weeks, not months, to build something. And I found that, you know, we were needing some more CDM training, construction design management training. And I thought, how can we do this that's fun? You know, these guys really want to know? And without kind of going and bringing in a new provider, a new training provider, I thought, you know what, we can build all this stuff out of Lego. And we can actually do in a scenario where we've got to build a new radio mast in a school. And I came up with this sort of idea of how can I set this task to a load of project managers and make it fun, and I can kind of play devil's advocate and going, would you bring in a contractor you didn't know and hadn't got through procurement, and, you know, what would that mean? And we weren't spinning dice, but we were kind of like showing them, you know, how through Lego, how things can go horribly wrong. And we built a jail and we put them in jail and we said, how are you going to get out and what are you going to say to the coroner? And, you know, we were really, really bringing it to them, and in a fun way. And they were like, oh, yeah, I didn't know that could happen. It's like, yeah, you've signed this off. So, like, you were actually part of the controlling mind there. Like, you know, you have some liability there, and I want to help you understand what that kind of looks like. And what I did was, we started running sessions all over the UK. It got a good reputation. People said, yeah, you should go on that course that Alex is running in his team. And then I wanted to bring it into life with the CEO and COO, and just show them what we'd been doing. So we kind of had some photos and things like that as well to kind of, you know, this is what your people are doing. They're playing with Lego, but they're kind of also really understanding the foundations.
It's pretty cool that you were able to, you know, do it and then share that creativity to get engagement with the workforce. Yeah. How did that go down with the CEO?
Yeah, they really liked it. And that's the word, creativity. We think we can't be creative. And if you really sit there and just think, and I wanted to put this in, and I forgot to mention it when we talked last week, but we're going from the information age, which we're in right now, so we can go on Google, we can find loads of stuff about Lego and Lego Serious Play. There's an amazing book called Lego Serious Play. I've forgotten who the author is, but you can find it and download it. So I'd recommend doing that if you're into that kind of stuff. But we're heading into the wisdom, the age of the, you know, sort of the age from the information age to the wisdom age, where we're starting to use people's ideas. And so you can only get ideas from sitting back and thinking And what I used to do at O2, I used to do a lot of that. So rather than just being busy, I actually used to carve out time in my diary for thinking time. And so when I did used to kind of create something or go in and speak with the CEO or COO, I would have sat for maybe a day, literally a day, not in just one big block, but I would be blocking out time leading up to to that point rather than just trying to cram it in the last moment. I think that's really important that you create thinking time for yourself.
Excellent point, Alex, to share. And I like the way you've sort of give us an insight into how you know, the process of how you actually give yourself dedicated time to try and come up with different ways of approaching this, this type of communication, and how important that is to actually getting something that actually, creates engagement and gets the attention that you're actually looking for. And I love the way you've said, that we often do sort of build a picture in our own minds that we're not creative, and that within the compliance world it's not a creative space, and that we're very limited in that respect. But like anything, we're sort of only limited by our own mindsets. And I think that's really cool for you to share that you have actually went and used something, really tangibly that people can actually go and try themselves. So Alex, whenever we're talking to those at a very high level in an organization and we're giving them insights to how the people are and giving our impressions of the state of an organization, is there any particular approach that you would say that you have taken that works, or even more so, anything that we should watch out for?
You've got to feedback in the right way, I would say. If you go in there with a kind of bad news, like, I think there's a certain way of giving information around what's happening. I don't know if that's answering your question, but for me, it was all about, I have this insight, this is what's happening, but I wouldn't go in with, okay, this is broken, because they twist it straight back on you and say, how are you going to fix it? Okay, so don't do that. That is what I've had before. I've done that. You go in there and say, do you know what? This is, you tell a story. So there's obviously a start, middle, and end to it. You say that this was an issue. And then what had happened was we resolved that through this solution. And this is now the outcome. But I still need your support. And I think this is what you've got to understand is, why are you going to the CEO or COO or that senior person? Why are you going? It might be the HR director. Why are you going there? You want their help. You want them as a sponsor. So if you go there with loads of problems, you're going to turn them off because they're going to think it's too difficult. So what you want to be doing is you want to be telling them this story of how you've tried to resolve it. And what you're trying to do is say, I just need you to kick it between the posts. I just need you to get it over the line, or I'm not getting traction here. I everyone's in agreement. We just need to raise some support, some funding around this point. And just by using, and I don't like this, by using your name, I'd be really careful about that. Just by having your support, because sometimes you'll find that it's very easy to walk around the business and say, oh, by the way, I've got the ear of the most senior person in the business. That actually starts to kind of wear off after a while for people. You actually want to be saying, oh, on this particular issue, I know that they're looking to fund it, or they're looking to provide some support in this area, but I'm dealing with it. And then you get more credibility.
In terms of actually getting the right answer and delving into that a little bit more, I know that plenty of us struggle from, as you mentioned last week, sometimes there are management styles and personalities and characters that you come up against. And sometimes we're, as anyone in business or in life in general, we're not the most self-aware, and much of the time it's maybe our doing that we're not getting anywhere, and there's friction between you know, ourselves and other members of staff or management. But if you're approaching the highest level of an organization, whatever that may be, how important is it to understand that individual and their personal drivers and likes and dislikes and so on, and their sort of history and how they see things, and what way would you go about actually tackling that?
Yeah, it sounds like an exam question, doesn't it? But it's not. No, it's not meant to be. It's that classic case of kind of knowing their personal drivers, and you won't get that immediately. You'll have to ask around. So when I mean ask around, in a basic sense of, you know, seeing or speaking to one of your sponsors or one of the people that, you know, has worked closely with them, or, you know, is kind of like linked to the work of the CEO, maybe they have some insight. Sometimes they're very open. And nowadays, particularly around mental health and well-being, you're talking CEOs that will come out and actually just speak about who they are, what they like, what they dislike, you know, what keeps them interested. So for me, it was all about, do they like a quick fire fact-based kind of report, you know, or do they want to see the detail, or is there something that they really like? Is it something around stress, for example? I think stress and mental health everyone seems to feel that, you know, they can help. And that's really cool. So, you know, you don't have to be a psychologist to actually say, I'm going to make a difference in my business by offering this to my employees, or we're going to change this round to do something. So actually I feel that they can make quicker decisions in that subject, rather than something that's around some contracts been developed, you know, that, you know, we're missing something around the safety element, and I've got to go away and I've got to find out what the real solution is. So it's all about, you know, what are their key interests, working that out, but not doing it on your own. I would spend quite a lot of time learning and also just going online. A lot of CEOs will be publishing. I was lucky that they've been on Sky News. They worked at another business. There was, you know, they did some charity work. I was really able to hone in and kind of learn. And some of the press releases, you know, sometimes they won't have a ghostwriter, they'll write it themselves. So there's actually, if you were ever, I mean, we're talking about marketing here, but, you know, if you talk about search engine optimization, which talks about what key terms do you put into Google to find a certain web page, if you just look at how their writing style is, you'll start to pick up trends in what they keep talking about. If you keep on finding those trends, put them in your report. So you could actually say, oh, this term that they keep talking about, or that analogy, we'll use that analogy or use it in a slightly different way. And they will love that, because they'll see, oh, you understand me. You understand my world.
You touched on it being a marketing approach, I guess, or something that perhaps people would use in the sales world, but fundamentally, you know, that's what you're trying to do, is to get attention and get someone to buy into or listen to what you're saying. So it absolutely has relevance.
Yes.
Would you specifically try and hone in on something that, you know, that is personal to the person you're approaching to get that attention off the bat, or would it be something you would just try and sort of blend in more naturally into what you're actually delivering?
I guess because I'm relatively straightforward type of guy, I don't really use kind of cheesy influencing tactics. I'll use something that I think is relevant to the situation. I think if you're dealing with a tough cookie and a difficult customer, then you might actually have to start deploying some real influencing strategies. I certainly feel that in other sectors, I'm not going to talk about telecom sector, because I think, you know, the door was wide open, so I can't talk about that. But in the other sectors I've worked in, it wasn't wide open. And you do have to use techniques that are, I'm going to call it out, scientifically proven to work. So that is kind of really tapping in and going in early with something you know that they're going to be interested in.
Sticking with that theme of being able to influence, Alex, it seems like a big inhibitor for people in the profession. And I've spoken to some folks who have been doing some research recently. It still seems like a really big hurdle for us. As a profession, and this doesn't obviously go for everyone, but it seems to be a trend from those that I've spoken to that we're not always the best at moving our scope outside of our own specific responsibilities and understanding things like finance and what other people's perspectives are within the business. Do you have any views on that from your own experience, and what do you think we can do to get better?
You're making me smile, because if I just look across now, I see this book is called How to Talk Finance. It's actually in front of me right now. And the reason why I've got that book, it's kind of like the dummy's guide to finance. You've got to be articulate around that subject. You don't have to be an expert, but that book is really cool because it gives you the fundamentals, and also how to write a business case. You don't want to go into a meeting, whether it's at a senior level or you're trying to influence someone else to spend money in their, in their patch. You know, you've got to go in and say, almost, here's the business case. You've got to sign it off, because they will look at you and go, do you know what? I'm just going to kick that into the long grass. It's too difficult. And you go in there and go, you don't need to do that. I've done the hard work for you. I know you need to do this. Sometimes you just got to do that. And I do agree with you, Richard, that you have to know more than just being very, very good at some levels of technical safety or some other kind of leadership levels of safety. You've got to know some levels of around finance, contract management. Those type of things keep popping up all the time. And also leaning more into the HR space, occupational health, performance management, conduct. You need to kind of like lean in and learn a lot about that as well. And particularly when you get in a leadership position yourself. I had a team of around 20. We had some contractors in there as well, so it was bigger than that. And knowing how to manage people is such an important skill, because you then, when you walk into a room and you're speaking to someone that also has their own budget, also has a huge team, they might have a team that's 3, 4, 5 times the size of yours, but you can say, actually, I understand the difficulty. And when you go into a performance review with your peers, and generally what happens in when you performance review a whole department and you're involved in that, like I was, they're interested in is speaking about the behaviors of that person. And as you might be performance reviewed yourself, it's all about your behaviors. So you've always got to think, my behaviors in terms of a positive way as a leader will be talked about. You might not think it, but they are at some point in the year, because that's how you're graded against other people. So I think you really just got to kind of look at that as well.
It's interesting and not really surprising to hear that you do a hell of a lot of reading and seem to self-educate on a lot of these topics yourself, Alex. And I think maybe we're preaching to the converted here talking about this, but you've mentioned some great resources there that we'll share some links to in the podcast notes. Hopefully that will help kickstart a few of our audience into going out and learning something new.
Yeah, no, the education's changing rapidly, and you can go to university, you can go and get another degree. We can, the costs are extortionate, but actually, if you sit there and just watch YouTube or pick up that book or go to a free talk, oh God, you can get so much knowledge. I mean, this is so sad. May sort of loot how sad I can be. My wife goes out for the evening. What do? I slam on YouTube on my TV, and I'm watching YouTube videos on all types of different kind of like I say podcasts or interviews, you know, London Reels, really cool for kind of like new and up and coming people or people that have been around a while that's got some great techniques for whatever soft skill or influence it is. And, you know, as a new business owner, I'm just there flicking through all these kind of great free content, to be honest. And I think people feel that they're not credible unless they've got a badge. And having left school with hardly any qualifications, I feel that that's not right. I think people actually have loads of potential. And that's one of the things that I find, that people feel that they'd have no potential. And they can only do that by going through the usual system. Don't let that be that inner voice. Go out and learn yourself. You'll actually be surprised how much you know very, very quickly. And then it's just about kind of working those networks and listening to people like yourself, Richard. You know, I'm learning loads from you in terms of how you're doing this and, you know, how you're progressing in this podcast. I think it's fantastic. And I encourage people to do the same. So it's kind of like almost self-taught is actually better, but you still need those mentors and those other sort of people's help.
I think that's a really good point to end on, Alex. And hopefully, obviously, we've helped each other here, and it's great to network with you and share this conversation with our listeners. I'm sure some of the things you've talked about over the last couple of episodes will be inspiring for people, and your very upfront and down-to-earth approach to sharing this with us is invaluable.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Thanks.
We'll be back again soon, delivering you more value in the health, safety and environment space. If you haven't already done it, don't forget to subscribe on whichever platform you're listening on. Until next time, keep pushing things forward and keep having a positive impact. We'll chat to you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Safety Podcast. We would love you to tell us which episode you would like to hear. Don't forget to give us a shout at safetypodcast.com.